Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, blessed to do this show. It is the Black and Gold Pittsburgh podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, live in Los Angeles. My sidekick, my brother, out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ralph Williams, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. It is Berg Smack. As we lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Ralph, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you?
I'm doing real well, Mark. Thanks. Again, it's another week of you and I. One of the best shows in national blog talk radio here. Facebook page, Ralph Williams, and you can get a hold of me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com.
Yeah, a lot to talk about today. Let's give it over to you to start it. I don't know where you want to start. There's so much news today. The baseball lockout ends, the Ridley situation. Major trades that happened. Carson Wentz goes to the Washington Commanders. Khalil Mack goes to the Chargers. We got the acknowledged Ben Simmons going to Philadelphia as a member of the Brooklyn Nets today. And Vegas is in Pittsburgh's backyard tomorrow night. So take it anywhere you want, and I'll follow your lead, and then I'll throw one.
All right, we could start talking about the Atlanta Falcons receiver, Calvin Ridley. What a knucklehead, Mark. I mean, this guy here goes out and he places a bet on football, of all things. The thing that you're not supposed to bet on, I could see if you maybe bet on horses or you bet, or you were at the blackjack table or something. That's another issue. But to put the little money he put down on that bet and then to lose $11 million for a season, I mean, I cannot believe that this guy actually, you know what? I do a segment on my one show the way I see it. It's called Bonehead. This guy is a complete bonehead for doing this. I mean, it's really unbelievable that he would do this and sacrifice $11 million for a whole season.
No, it doesn't make sense, and you're right. After the whole Pete Rose situation, you kind of thought maybe the guy would learn something from that. Maybe he doesn't even know who Pete Rose was. Who knows? But, yeah, if they're telling you not to do something and you go do it, then you're in uncharted waters with a bunch of sharks, and, now he pays the price. That's a lot of money to lose for making a measly $1,500 bet. So, no, I totally agree with you. Stupid is stupider. Dumb and Dumber. Maybe he's going to do another movie like that off that old movie that was out years ago. So, who knows? My rant is the baseball strike. They finally come to a conclusion today to save it, save a sport in more ways than one. We know this sport was saved in 94 with Chick Stigg the long ball, Bud Selig having a front row seat. Home runs were a premier. McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds. Everybody was watching the game. And now it kind of struggled a little. Luckily, they only lost 1 week's worth of games. But they came to their conclusions, and I think the players won. There's no salary cap. They got what they wanted. They upped the ante. The owners can say what they wanted was a 162-game season, and, they got 12 teams in the playoffs. Well, I think everybody wanted to see 12 teams in the playoffs. So when you look at this, I think the players won. Any thought on that, Ralph?
Yeah, they did win because, as you said, no salary cap. And, they got the DH now, the pitchers – are not going to get hurt trying to run around the bases or whatever. They don't have to bat, which actually isn't a bad thought. They should have did this a long time ago. And now you're going to have both leagues with DH hitters. And that actually could help a player, like somebody that normally rides the bench, and don't play very often but is a pretty adequate hitter. You can get somebody to be a DH. Like, yeah, you can even bring a guy in now and just play him as a DH. And not even play him at a position. So what I'm saying is you have a lot of options with the DH. I'm happy with that. The minimum wage went up for the players. That's good for them. But the owners didn't get anything really too much out of this. Players did win. The salary cap isn't here yet. And, they've been talking about it for years. I had a buddy of mine who does a show on Tuesday night on Bethel Park TV here in Pittsburgh, and one of his co-hosts made a mention about how they started talking about the salary cap mark back in the 90s when they had that strike back in the early 90s. They started talking about salary caps. And now we're at this stage of the game, and they still can't get a salary cap. And we've had, what, four or five strikes from then to now? So what I'm saying is that the players seem like they always win all the time, and the owners don't seem to be able to win. But they salvaged the season. I think if it would have went any longer, people would have started losing interest. And, the USFL is getting ready to start playing in April. They would all started flocking to football for spring. So, but baseball, the owners were able to salvage the season, gave the players, like you said, what they wanted. They didn't really get much out of this. And so I don't even know why they even locked the players out. I think this could have been done on the QT, but nothing was done. It just led to this. And now they're behind the eight ball a little bit now. And they can't.
Well, here's the thing, Ralph. As we break this SmackDown live in the Berg, I look at it like this. The one thing I liked, and if the owners wanted this, okay, I'll give you that, because this is what I wanted a long time ago. I wanted 12 teams. I wanted six from each league in the playoffs. I mean, I'm a traditionalist, and I can remember when they had, four division winners, and they play it like that. But, with these many games playing, you need to get more teams involved in it. There's no wild card. There'll be a 2 out of 3 series, which should have helped a lot of teams. Like, it could have helped the Pirates in the early stages of 2015, 2016, 2017, when they were rolling, and being in a murderer's row division, battling the Cardinals and Cubs and all these other teams to play a one-game playoff and have their team send their horses to beat us in Arrieta and Baumgartner in our backyard. The only one we got ahead of is when we beat the Cincinnati Reds in that day. But what I like about it, 2 out of 3 series for that, I like the more teams. There's going to be, we're going to have teams involved in this now. We're not going to see 20 teams, pretty much out of the playoff picture by Mother's Day. So that's great in some senses. The DH, you bring an interesting part. I wasn't a big fan of it till you just broke it down on it, and I like it. Now if you're in a, you got runners in scoring position, they're not going to get an easy out with a pitcher if the bases are loaded or something. Now you got to face a DH here in more ways than one. This is going to present problems for the opposing pitching staff. So I like that. But the biggest thing I like out of this thing is I like this more teams coming in the postseason. No salary cap. Their players are basically saying we own the sport. And when I look at the schedule, and we don't know, hypothetically, it looks like this: the Pirates will open up in St. Louis unless they play some game April 7th in Pittsburgh. But they'll open up in St. Louis for three, come home and play a one game with the Chicago Cubs, and then welcome the Washington Nationals in for four. So, go figure this crazy schedule. Luckily, they only have to make up 1 week of games that they lost, and all six were against Cardinals and Cubs in Pittsburgh. But any thought to that? Any thought to the salary cap? Players aren't giving into that, and more teams in the postseason, brother.
Yeah, I like the as you mentioned, and I forgot to bring that up as well. The more teams in the postseason. I like that idea. I'm hoping that this year, and I think maybe, Pirates just might have a little bit of a better team this year. And maybe I might not be wrong like I was this past season when I thought they were going to go 500 and all my other media colleagues in town said they were going to lose 100 games. They were right and I was wrong, and I'm glad I didn't bet on that because I don't bet very often. And, so what I'm saying is that, I'm happy with that as well. It could give the Pirates an opportunity if they can get there, which I'm hoping this year is way better than it's been. This new management base of Ben Cherington and Travis Williams, got to give them some time. I mean, we've been patient here long enough. Give them a little more time to get things going. Pirates got some good giveaways this year. I think they're going to draw a pretty good fan base. Last couple of years they've had some bad ones. They got that T-shirt, free T-shirt Friday they do. I can't go get one because obviously I can't fit into one. So, they have those going on. They got some summer concerts this year to make up for some losses. So the, you know, PNC.
Well, not only that, Ralph,
play.
you also got some. You know, the Yankees are coming in, the Red Sox are coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, the Blue Jays are coming in. You know,
yeah.
So you get teams that we never get to see,
and they
right.
and they bring people. Mark, you should see the people that come from out of town. When I used to drive a cab, and they would play the Yankees. You should see the people that come in from New York to see these games. From Chicago, I mean, the Cubs have a loyal fan base, whether they're sad, whether they're good. Even the Philly
right.
fans are even come in. So when we're playing teams like that we don't get to see much of, like the Toronto Blue Jays and the Yankees and the Anaheim Angels, well, you know, they're not going to fly away to Pittsburgh. Who knows? But, I mean, you know, you have a lot. The Reds bring a lot of fans in. I always see Reds jerseys around town if I'm driving through town sometime or whatever. But like I said, when I drove a cab, man, you should have seen all the fans that were here for those teams that you just mentioned, because they have very good traveling fan bases, some of these baseball teams. Atlanta. I mean, there's another one
right.
That has a very good traveling team. The Washington Nationals. You know, it's what, a 4-hour drive to Pittsburgh? You know,
right.
you come in, watch the game.
Exactly. Joe from Germantown, Pennsylvania, listening live on the show. Joe, thanks for tuning in here.
Hey, Joe, thanks
on
for
the
tuning in.
Smack. He's Ralph Williams. Here's truly Mark Mancini. He basically says, guys, you know, this has always been a thorn in my side. I don't understand why the Phillies don't play the Pirates more. I can remember in the 70s being in the same division with the Expos, Cardinals, Mets, et cetera, and we played them. You got out where Mancini is, the Giants and Dodgers playing 19 times a year. Phillies, Pirates only play 6. So you just mentioned the Phillies drawing coming into Pittsburgh, vice versa, Pittsburgh people going into Philly. What's the take on that? Are we going to get realignment so we can get geographical battles and rivalries? Because this would make much more sense the next step if we have a stoppage in baseball to get some kind of realignment, or just some of these teams just don't want to lose their rivalries. You know, let's face it, Tampa is not a rivalry of the Yankees and Red Sox. You got to put them down there with Atlanta and stuff. What's your take on the realignment? This guy brings up a great point out of Germantown, PA.
Oh, I would be in favor of that. You know what they try to do some time ago, Mark? They try to do a Cleveland Indians-Pittsburgh Pirates rivalry kind of thing. Every year when we had, interleague play, they kept trying to get the Indians to come. Well, now they're called the Guardians. I'm sorry. I have to say the Guardians. The Guardians to come, you know, to Pittsburgh and create that rivalry like the football. But it didn't work. So, you know, I would love to see the Phillies come a lot. That would be a great rivalry. You know, the Turnpike rivalry, you know, like that, you
right.
know, in the same state. That would be wonderful. And then, the Washington Nationals, that's all in that area there. You know, and who knows, maybe, well, Tampa – you know, Tampa Bay surprises me, Mark. They've been in the World Series a few times, but that's
right.
when Madden was their manager down there. And, you know, ever since he left, they haven't done too much of anything. And, I mean, you know, so in the Miami Marlins, you know where they are. Derek Jeter just stepped down. So, I mean, you know, there's really not much in Florida as far as baseball goes.
Yeah,
that's a situation.
No, you bring up an interesting point, and that's a situation. You know, when you own a team and you got a guy that's won this many rings, sit back, let the guy run the organization, give him how much he needs to get it even better. To let Jeter walk is a travesty. I don't understand the whole Miami Marlins situation. I never understood it with the Florida Marlins. God knows they've won 2 world championships. But I don't know how come baseball hasn't survived in Florida. Warm weather, you know, you got the Cuban community down there. I don't know if the stadium's put in a bad area or something, people just can't flock to it, or the freeway system doesn't move down there or whatever. But I don't know what the problem is in Florida. And now it's starting to affect parts of the exhibition season, because it seems like Arizona – has got, you know, more money or something to build new stadiums, even for their preseason games. than they do in Florida. It just seems like, I don't know, what's your take on that? What's your take on the Marlins and Rays without drawing fan bases in Florida?
I don't get it either, Mark. And then the interesting thing is Bradenton makes a lot of money with the Pirates when they're down there for spring training. That's their Super Bowl. That's like I always said about Punxsutawney and the Groundhog. You know, that's Punxsutawney's Super Bowl. So when the Pirates are in Bradenton, that's Bradenton's Super Bowl. And, you know, they make money off the Pirates, very much so. They make a lot of money with big tourists coming in to see Pirate games down there, and then they spend a vacation down there. I don't get it either, Mark, because maybe there's too much to do down there, the beach, Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got a whole lot you can do down there, maybe selling snow cones on the beach or something or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, surfing, there's a lot of things you can do in Florida. I mean, you know, and maybe baseball's something they don't want to deal with. I mean, you know, I can't say I don't know. You know,
yeah.
They got a lot of clubs in Miami. So, I mean, you know, everybody likes to go to Miami.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe they're throwing dollar bills at the strip club down there instead of going to a Marlins game. But, wow, as we break this thing up, let's segue into the NFL. A lot of news. I know you started out with the Ridley thing and, you know, just and then the baseball news just kind of took center stage after that. But we've had a lot of movement in football. And, you know, I've always been a Redskin fan on the NFC side of things. I love my Steelers on the AFC side of things. But the Commanders finally got a quarterback. And I look at Carson Wentz as a quarterback that I haven't seen in Washington since Kirk Cousins left. And, you know, Henke was good. But, you know, going through the whole Haskins thing and all these other guys and Fitzpatrick and stuff, it's nice to see if we can keep Carson Wentz upright. He was 5-3 in that division, man. Let me tell you, I like my chances now moving forward with Washington. There's been other movement going around. Denver made a splash. Boatload of picks going to Seattle, including Drew Lock for Russell Wilson. We're trying to figure out. I think Jimmy Garoppolo will end up in Pittsburgh. We're trying to figure out where Deshaun Watson lands. And, you know, there's some teams that are going to be looking. They still need quarterbacks in Tampa, in New Orleans, in Indianapolis. What are we doing with the quarterback situation first? And then we'll talk about Khalil Mack and everything going on in probably the toughest division in football now, the AFC West.
I know one thing here. There are many reports out that Brian Flores has some kind of a relationship with Deshaun Watson family-wise, I think, or something, you know, through circles. And now there's reports out there, and I don't know if they're erroneous, as Kevin Colbert would say, you know, but I believe that Deshaun Watson, that the Steelers are about to start talking to him and getting him into Pittsburgh. I know they're looking at Mitch Trubisky right now. They've sort of strayed away from Winston. They were supposed to bring in Bridgewater. We're going to see what the Steelers do with a experienced quarterback. They may not even do that. What they might do is do what a lot of people want them to do, and that's fix both lines of scrimmage, fix the offensive line, fix the defensive line. Fix the linebacker situation. You got no backup linebackers. Your depth is very low there, you know. And you got so you know. But as far as Denver, they got Russell Wilson now. Denver made it's great to have a good quarterback for a new coach in Nathaniel Hackett. He's gonna be a you know, he's a good offensive mind. His dad was a good offensive mind, Paul Hackett, and he might make it there. It all depends. But when you got Russell Wilson there, that's great. But you gave up a whole lot of draft picks. And you know it like I know it, Mark. Draft picks can always pay off in free agents. And if you don't have both, you might as well forget it. So now they're not going to have number one draft picks for a few years. And that might hurt a new coach like that, unless they're willing to really go out. Teams for sale, so you don't know what the new owner might want to spend or might want to get into. You know, so you got that in Denver. So, I mean, you know, I'm rooting for Nathaniel Hackett. I think he's a good coach. I don't know what he is as a head coach because he never has been. But he's bringing all the old Green Bay assistants with him, and we'll see what goes on. He's got Luke Getsy there as his offensive coordinator, former Pitt quarterback is there. He's been around the league. He's a very smart mind. Pitt was going to bring him in to be their offensive coordinator when Mark Whipple left. But now he took the job in Denver. I think Mike Munchak might even be still staying around in Denver. I'm not sure. Or their offensive line coach. So what I'm saying is Denver could do okay with Nathaniel Hackett. And they now have a really good quality starting quarterback in Russell Wilson. But I feel bad for him because they don't have two number one picks coming up in the next couple of years. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you break down the Broncos, and you need a surrounding cast. Wilson might not have that in Denver right off the bat, but he gives Denver a legitimate shot, and you got four great quarterbacks in that division: Carr, Mahomes, Herbert, and now Wilson joining it. But when I look at the division, Kansas City and the Raiders are kind of staying pat right now, and the Chargers make the move to bring in, Khalil Mack. So that's going to be interesting going against, his Raider teammates of old. And given the Chargers really something, I mean, they'll be playing the NFC West this year. When you look at the Colts and letting Carson Wentz go, that's really a head-scratcher and more points that I can't quite figure out because they Frank Wright wanted him in there. He had this team rolling. The only thing is they looked like the Miami Dolphins. They couldn't win one game of their last two. That opened the door. They got knocked out of the playoffs, and then we're letting people out the door. I like Carson Wentz. I've always liked Carson Wentz. I don't know what happened in Philly, and in the 1 year in Indianapolis. But I think, he's going to find a home in Washington. And Washington now with the running attack and stuff, I like Washington's chances to win this division. I think when you look at Dallas – Dallas, is going to kind of find themselves to a certain extent. And then Philly needs a quarterback, Jalen Hurts. I think, I take Carson Wentz over Jalen Hurts. And the Giants are trying to find themselves. So, and then getting over in Pittsburgh side of things, I think, when you look at the Deshaun Watson situation, that's a lot of baggage to bring into a small market, Pittsburgh City. With a lot of things that this guy's being accused of, if it was one or two, I we could turn the page, but there's 20-something women here that are involved in this thing, and to post that up in Pittsburgh every day when this guy gets on the field, that could be a little too much. I love Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he gets out of San Francisco. I liked him in New England. He had a good year. I think, and I know the rumors circulate a couple of weeks ago that, it looked like he was heading there. I really think if I had to put some money down on it, I think they'll get Garoppolo before they get Watson. And then the latter, whoever they don't get, will probably move down into Tampa. But who knows? You can have Brady coming out of retirement and playing for San Francisco.
Yeah, that could happen. Brady... I believe he's greedy enough to come out. He's trying to get three more Super Bowls so he could fill his other finger. He's got seven now. He wants to fill the other three, Mark, with so he could fill both fingers and say, look at me. I got 10 Super Bowls. And sometimes when you try to chase money and get greedy, and sometimes it don't work for you that way. And Brady is one of those types that's going to chase Super Bowl rings, and it ain't going to work out like he thinks it is. So that's exactly where that is. As far as that goes with him,
Yeah, no, exactly. So, 6 minutes left in this great show, brother. Love doing this thing with you. Let's talk about a little NBA action. Somebody's going to be acknowledged in Philadelphia, even though he's sitting on a bench. The Boo Birds are out. Ben Simmons comes back to Philly. I like Ben Simmons. Numerous opportunities to interview him. I thought he was a great guy. I know he can't shoot, but he can play defense. He wanted out of Philly. Maybe he should have thicker skin. They threw him out of there and sent him to Brooklyn. He comes back into town tonight, much anticipated battle, except he's in street clothes with a back injury still. He's not playing, but it doesn't stop the Philly faithful for laying down the booze on this guy. What's your take on this and it's pretty sad that it didn't work in Philly, but I think Brooklyn got the best of this in the long run.
Yeah, Mark, I'm not much of an NBA fan, but, Brooklyn got that. If Brooklyn got a good deal for that, that's great because, Philly, man, like you said, they're loyal fans there with the 76ers, and they'll boo you straight out of town, just like you said. And it's good that if you're going to another team and something like that doesn't work out, Mark, it's always great to, you know what I mean, a different change of atmosphere.
Yep.
Maybe the people in Brooklyn, the fans there, will probably appreciate this guy a little more. Bringing him in. I'm not sure what kind of star he is. I mean, if he's a good star and it didn't work in Philly, maybe it'll work in Brooklyn for him. I hope it does. I mean, you know, there's always, when you go to another team, Mark, it's always great to have a change of pace sometimes. You might have the coach might be able to work with you differently, show you some different techniques, maybe work on some different things like a jump shot, or work on your, dribbling. I mean, whatever. So there might be something. I know they're pros. They should already know how to do that. But there might be something that he could add, this coach, maybe, to this player's arsenal to where, you know, that would work for him. And sometimes that's the case. And maybe this coach in Philly just didn't work out right. And the fans booing him out of the building, that doesn't help either. Maybe he'll get the backing of the fans in Brooklyn. That might work out for him.
Right. Let's segue over to the hockey. I know the Penguins lost their last one to Florida in the second game of a three-game homestand. They get Vegas tomorrow, and they'll close it with Carolina on Sunday, and then they go on a road trip, Nashville, St. Louis, and Arizona, before they come home and play the Blue Jackets. But let's talk about this Penguin team because I think they're in better shape in the long haul, and I want to look in the trenches on this when I say this, is, you know, having Malkin sit for quite a few games, not playing in October and November and coming back in late in January and stuff, and Crosby, you know, not coming out to start the season. I think they got fresher legs. I think, you know, with a trading deadline looming, maybe try to back up somebody for Jerry, maybe bring Marc-Andre Fleury back or something, or try to get another defenseman in there. But I will tell you this, my friend, and I'm sure you see it up close. Thank God I'm watching it tomorrow when they play Vegas out here on the NHL Network in Los Angeles. But I think the Eastern Conference playoffs first round are going to be one hell of a buzzsaw top to bottom. What's your take on the Penguin State? What's your take on the Eastern Conference playoffs, my friend, in a couple minutes?
They have a very tough road to hoe here. We're going to see what Ron Hextall and Brian Burke do in the trade deadline coming up. Are they going to make a deal? Are they just going to sit back and let things stand? They can't. They need to get some people in here for the short term for the playoffs. Looking down the road, Hextall has built back up our minor league system. He has gone out and not sold out our future for some bums, which, of course, is what Rutherford did a few times. Hextall was a more patient man. He sits back and waits. Rutherford, supposedly, from what I'm told, was one of them guys that as soon as he saw somebody stunk, he wanted to trade him out of Pittsburgh, and he did everything he could, including getting rid of our draft picks and getting rid of our young talent. And then we don't have nothing to build with. And that's where Rutherford's problem was. And I think that's what ran him out of Pittsburgh a little bit, too. But we're going to find out real quick. I think this team can do it. They just need a few more, like, rental players for the playoffs.
Right.
Hextall needs to go out and get a couple. And I think they'll be okay. They got this new goalie coach, I'm told, that's helping these goalies. They're performing a little bit better. Casey D. Smith has come around a little bit. He's 5-0-1 in his last six. Well, 5-1-1 now. He just lost the other night or whatever. And, he's doing well. He's doing better than he was. And Louis Dominique hasn't come back from his lower body injury. There was supposed to be a backup competition at goal. That never happened. So now DeSmith's taking it now, and he's running with it. So let's see what happens with this playoff run. It's going to be tough sledding. You have Carolina, New York Rangers. You got a bunch of teams that are there. And then if we have to see Boston, we got to see that bruiser guy that knocked Jari in the head, and stuff like that. We got to see him again.
Kasternak
and
Marchand and all those guys.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
listen,
like
as
Wilson
we come to the winding down to this thing, how can people get a hold of you?
I have a Facebook page, Ralph Williams. You can also get a hold of me, Ralph Williams, at 737@gmail.com. And you can also have a sports corner, Way I See It, WrestleTalk Facebook page you can get on as well.
Yeah, baby. For Ralph Williams, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying catch the Black and Gold podcast on...
Have a good night, everybody.
BlogTalkRadio.com, yeah, /Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms. Next week, baby, Wrestle Talk. We're going to be talking
about
the Jericho Appreciation Society. So don't miss it next week.
Yeah, baby.
Till then, have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in and making this show a hit.
Thank you.